This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dun, dun.
What was happening over there on
Emily
the couch?
Keeps holding my hand.
I'm going to fucking hold Caldwell.
You guys, we can all hold hands at the start of every show.
It's really good. Caldwell.
Hold Emily's hand.
Holding hands. Okay, great.
That's going to be tough. Okay. We're quite far away from each other.
No!
We have to let go at some point, too.
Court is back from recess. You already know us. We don't need to do an introduction. I'm just going
to
throw right
to be introduced.
You know what? Bailiff Jake is back, everybody.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is still in session. John's gone. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford Murphy and Tanner presiding. Lowly Bailiff Jake.
Yes. John got arrested for operating a bulldozer without a permit, without a license.
Oh, you need a permit for everything now.
They finally found out he didn't have a kid.
Okay, let's
cafeterias.
Let's jump right into it. Why not?
Please.
Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel, writes.
Sick.
It's a cool name.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Sephiroth. Taylor B.
To the protectors of the innocent and that guy who makes Trevor breakfast. Nice.
Whoa.
Very nice.
Yeah, Caldwell shows up and makes Trevor.
Really? You know how he likes it?
Tucker breakfast.
It's one sunny side egg in a place that I'm not going to mention on camera.
Whoa, okay.
So he does know. I play a level 9 wizard in a party that was finishing a long encounter with the BBEG. After draining most of our spells and abilities, we turned the tables and instead of a TPK, we had him within one or two strikes of falling. Ooh. Sensing his imminent loss, our DM used their action to blow a horn and instantly summon 12 knights grouped together to the fight, putting us in a flee or die situation. With my final spell slot, I cast Wall of Force, placing it horizontally 6 inches off the ground, pinning all 12 knights in place flat on their stomachs because per the spell's wording, I can choose what side of the wall a creature is shoved to when cast. The knights with no extra space to crawl out from under the wall were essentially out of commission, allowing us to continue the fight with the BBEG.
I think this sounds clever.
Our DM argued that while the knights were pushed to the ground, they could still shuffle out from under the wall and continue the fight on their next turn. This led to a polite argument with him claiming that the spell was not intended to be used in such a way, while I claimed he was simply upset that we outsmarted his plan with a creative spell usage.
So...
doesn't sound
you're
that
just
polite.
Mad because you suck.
We eventually let the DM have their way because they obviously didn't want their evil character to die just yet, but I cannot help but still feel slighted at being told my 5th level spell was then wasted. I humbly await your judgment.
Let's look up Wall of Force.
Yeah, we're going to need to look that one up. Oh,
yes.
Oh, M's got
the iPad is out.
M's got an iPad. She's jumping for it. Wall of Force is pinning them down. That seems interesting.
It's very funny to see a bunch of knights have to wriggle out from under a Wall of Force. Especially I like that.
Yeah, they're
I definitely, it's hard for me because I can't help but feel the... as Murph would say, the DM sweat when your bad guy is just pull out a horn and summon
12 knights.
12 knights.
That in and of itself kind of sounds like bullshit.
Yeah. 12 guys. I pull out my guy horn.
Yeah. There's a horn that you guys had that had like berserker ghosts.
That
was awesome.
I know that there's a precedent for it, but I'm saying like, as one last move, it feels...
it's pretty cheap, yeah.
It feels like it wasn't ever intended to be.
You smell the
damn sweat. Yeah.
Wall of Force. An invisible wall of force springs into existence at a point you choose within range. The wall appears in any orientation you choose, as a horizontal or vertical barrier or at an angle. It can be free-floating or resting on a solid surface. You can form it into a hemispherical dome or a sphere with a radius of up to 10 feet. Well, interesting. So presumably they could have just
trapped
done like
inside.
A dome. Or you can shape a flat surface made up of 10 10-foot by 10-foot panels. Each panel must be contiguous with another panel in any form. The wall is 1/4 inch thick. It lasts for the duration. If the wall cuts through a creature's space when it appears, the creature is pushed to one side of the wall, your choice which side. Hmm. Nothing can physically pass through the wall. It is immune to all damage and can't be dispelled by dispel magic. A disintegrate spell destroys the wall instantly, however. The wall also extends into the ethereal plane, blocking ethereal travel through the wall.
Wow, that's some wall.
How
far do you get pushed if the wall shows up on you?
It says if the wall cuts through a creature's space when it appears, the creature is pushed to one side of the wall, your choice which side.
So they pinned them under the wall. Mm-hmm.
They don't get to make a dexterity save? I guess that's not in the wording.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it says interesting. Mm. The wall appears in any orientation you choose.
You can form it into a hemispherical dome or sphere.
Yeah. So like you
could
use it.
With a radius of 10 feet so that I guess you could only trap a couple.
Right. Mm. But yeah, like trapping people is kind of in there by design.
Yeah.
Like they were planning on it being used
for that purpose. I don't know that they were planning because they're kind of, it's not really a wall at that point. It's like a platform, but it does literally say whatever orientation, in any orientation you choose, as a horizontal or vertical barriers.
At an angle.
And you can literally do it at any level that you want. So you could just be like, it's like, you could pin them.
Yeah.
You could easily pin them.
Yeah, you do like a right triangle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even without it, you could put it so that it was hard enough that they couldn't wriggle out.
Right, because they have like metal armor. So you can't just like squirm around in that.
Yeah. And we discussed the doffing.
This is one of those times.
We've discussed the doffing.
Where
that sounds like somebody saying like a divorce. Yeah. We've discussed the doffing.
Christine, the doffing.
Oh, Connie, you're bringing up the doffing again. Here we go.
Here we go with the doffing. Yeah, I think beyond the fact that I don't believe that the mage was ever intended to be holding that horn that summoned the guy
in and of itself, I'm already like, that's a red flag.
You've done it now. Here comes my guy horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every DM keeps within their cachet a guy horn.
Guy.
I'm on your side.
You could pin someone with this.
Definitely.
Yeah, you definitely
could.
Yeah.
The question is if you could pin all 12.
Yeah.
I mean,
it could be 10 foot by 10 foot. That
specifically
should be
grouped them together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think I would allow for a dexterity save for some of them, maybe not all of them.
I don't think
but
I
why?
Would.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. Thing.
I guess, yeah. No, you're right. I feel like if I said that they were going to make a dexterity save and they brought that up, I would drop it. Yeah, I feel like that's fair.
You can also tell, like you can infer from this, like the DM obviously made up the guy horn. And then when it didn't work, needed to argue to the beyond reason that this spell shouldn't have worked like this, you know, if they just brought if they always had the horn and then the guys were, you know, immobilized, then they would have been like, okay, the fight is over. You guys outsmarted us. But no.
Why do we think, okay, well, I feel like we get stories like this or we get questions like this a lot of DMs being like, no, you can't kill my guy.
Right.
Never should have had the guy there in the first place then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering, like, I would think, or maybe, is it possible that part of the panic is, shit, I don't have anything else planned, and you finish this encounter quicker than I intended.
But they had to run anyway.
Yeah, it sounded like this was also, like, it was going from what was looking like a TPK, we fought back, and we were almost going to win.
Oh, yeah, it sounded like it was already
an
exciting
session sounded
thrill.
Great.
Yeah, you had a great time. Yeah.
Guy horn gets blown.
Blowing the guy horn is just frustrating. Like, just having 12 new dudes is just frustrating. Had the bad guy just had like teleport or something, it's like you get to save your guy. It's frustrating, but it's quick.
Yeah.
And the players still won.
And the players still feel that feeling of success. Yeah. Like, he ran from us.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially once you pull out a bullshit move like the guy horn, then to do like ungenerous reads of people's abilities when they outsmarted you. Mm-hmm. It's like in campaign one, I didn't think guys were going to kill Galad. I thought Galad had, I was like, Galad says that if you kill him, your mom's gonna disappear. And you were like, that's fine with me, and killed him.
That's funny. I wouldn't have done that in like future campaigns.
Yeah.
Subsequent campaigns, I would not have done
and
that.
And Galad definitely would have a guy horn.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you cut out the part where Galad takes out a horn?
Yeah, I said.
And summons
a little bit of that scene. Ghosts,
three level 20 fighters.
Yeah, I blow my horn.
What? I what gotta see a horn about a guy. I
roll 2d12s. That's how many berserkers show up.
Oh my gosh. Do you know these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this comes up over and over and over again where DMs want to do the like show of power thing.
And
it's just fucking do it then. Do it quick.
Yeah.
Just say, dude shows up, does a fucking ninth level fireball, everyone gets knocked out, and then he leaves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't have everyone.
Teleport?
Right.
Don't do a long fight that you can't possibly win.
Right. If you have a slog that your players eventually win, you can't just take that away from them.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's fun to come up with new bad guys.
True.
If they kill that bad guy, great. You just come up with the consequence of what happened of them killing that
bad guy. Who was the bad guy that inspired that bad guy?
You could also just be like, oh, it's a lich or he regenerates. Or there's a million story reasons that a guy can come back to life.
I do wonder, though, if it's like this was like an hour-long battle and they got together to play for 4 hours and they're like, fuck, I don't have anything else.
I think like in that case, like if it ends like way too early, number one, you take him out for pizza. You let him go into the town and you let him get some shopping done.
Yeah.
You have like a unplanned downtime.
Yeah.
And then you have like
I
a little break.
Downtime,
yeah. You just take a minute. And also it sounds like they didn't gain any time by this anyway, because they just had to run away from the fight.
Yeah. True.
So it's not like it. Yeah. It'd be one thing. Yeah. I understand why the DM was scared in the last week's case of getting put in a bead and thrown out the window right at the beginning of the fight. That does undercut your entire campaign. Yeah. I get why that DM sweated. But in this case, it's like, yeah, cool, they killed your BBEG. That's a problem for another day.
Right.
Like, just sick, dead.
Yeah.
Right. Now, how do I resurrect him? How do I figure out some way he's not dead? Or how do I have somebody else be the
congratulations,
bad
your
guy?
Players took the campaign in a fun new direction.
Yeah, just go with
That's what the collaborative storytelling nature is supposed to be about.
Maybe the new bad guy is those 12 guys.
Yeah.
Think about it. And,
oh, interesting.
Maybe the bad guy's the 12 guys.
Pinned, summoned
watching
by
their
a
boss
horn,
die. Yeah.
Knowing only the sentience, knowing only daddy who blew the horn, watching daddy who blew the horn get slaughtered while they were pinned beneath a wall.
I mean,
of
we
course.
Are the guys. We live.
Daddy,
to serve.
That, us guys will avenge you.
Isn't that kind of like what the Ringwraiths are in like the Nazgul and stuff? Like,
yeah, they're like,
they're just
like
guys.
Totally. That's awesome. If those were the big bad guys in
they form like Rings, a partnership, they're like, we can do it much better. We're 12 guys.
Yeah.
That was just one guy.
We are a consortium of guys.
Right.
We will see ourselves avenged.
The horn guys.
Before, we were just
Daddy's
some guys.
Lips blew us into existence.
Weird. We need to talk.
We came forth from daddy's horn.
About how we talk about the guys.
Ourselves. Yeah.
When daddy's wet lips burst.
We need to reframe the guys.
You two, Evan, we spewed forth from the horn.
From daddy's lips.
Let's.
And this is what we would do with the gift of life.
We all miss dad. We all miss dad. Let's just stop talking about his fucking lips so much.
This is a perfect punishment. The DM needs to create a new campaign with the 12 guys as the bad guys and needs to talk about daddy's lips every time. Every time he talks about
them. You shall kiss our father's lips in hell for what you've done.
Kiss our father's lips in hell. I feel like we're getting away from it.
Yeah. But I did like where it netted out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah. So ordered. Our next case comes from Stephen C. Mm. Stephen writes, Emily, wow, you are crying.
I'm crying a lot.
Wow. This is great. Gosh. This is what the video is for.
You guys, now you guys know that I do cry from laughing all the time.
To the most honorable judges and the bailiff whose personality can best be described as longtime sports AM radio caller who can never actually get on the air.
Oh, whoa. Wow.
Roast mode.
Hurt.
That was me.
My wife and I.
That was me.
Must be nice.
You went there.
My wife and I started playing D&D over the pandemic. She was one of the players while I was the DM. We played over Zoom, like so many others. I did all of my prep slash notes on my desktop, thinking she would use her laptop in a different room in our house to stream in. This, however, was not the case. She said we should sit next to one another and use one screen. When I pointed out all my notes and prep work would be on the screen with the Zoom call, I was told, "It's fine, I just won't look. You can trust me." I acquiesced. And I acquiesced, and that is how we ran the campaign. But I was suspicious every step of the way, and there were a few puzzles she solved rather quickly. Was I wrong to not trust my wife and ask to play on separate screens?
Yeah.
Or was I justified in my actions?
Shout out to this guy for loving his wife.
I know.
Shout out to the wife guys.
Shout out to the wife guys out there.
Hey, I'm a wife guy. I respect it. I think that even the most honorable person who's going into this with the clearest, cleanest of intentions would accidentally see something. Like, I literally, Murph will be like brainstorming with his little notebook, and I'm like,
right.
That's like, no. Otherwise, I might accidentally stray see something.
Yeah. Right. Are you like not looking at the Zoom? The Zoom call is happening. So you're like, okay, if the husband is on their notes, then you're just like looking to the side.
Also, as the DM, just having someone literally over your shoulder
is so distracting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's also, how do you even engage? Because so Emily and I are looking at the same screen. Mm-hmm. So when I'm narrating something, I'm looking at you guys on the webcam.
My mouth is moving on as you speak.
And then turning and looking at Emily.
Wait, that's it's just like reacting like one line ahead of him.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. You have to do a kind of like puppets. You just like turn and face each other. Yeah, this is so foreign to me because I've had moments where I'll be like walking in the studio and I'll like accidentally like glance Murph's notes and I'll like recoil.
Yeah.
It's like I've like glanced the sun itself. But,
and I have times like when we're on tour and I break into Murph's hotel room and I read all of the notes, I feel like kind of bad.
And steal all my cash.
Yeah,
Still get a second key card for every room? I thought we told you to stop.
Yeah, no, I do. Yeah. I rifle through your toiletries.
Yeah.
Because I love your scent.
We've talked to you about this. He has to stay in a different hotel.
He's staying in a different hotel. You stay in one near the airport.
Did y'all catch Jake rifling again?
Yeah, we need to be 20 miles away
right
from
now. He's wearing one of my shirts.
I mean, it looks good on him, but that's not the point.
Yeah, it looks great.
The venue is always between our hotels directly.
Yeah.
And we are 20 miles on each side. Jake 40 miles up between us.
Just to stop my rifling ways.
Lord, I was born a rifling man.
I mean, I get your wife being like, oh, I want to play in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you still need two laptops spaced away from each other.
Yeah.
Does anyone else also feel like when it comes to DM notes, like it would be like someone reading your diary a little bit? Like, I don't think I'd want to share that because it's like a lot of times it's like notes to yourself and like it feels too personal and intimate.
Mm-hmm. I would not like that at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it. And also, even if you're being honest, like I don't think your wife would have glanced on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely not accusing her of that.
It's impossible to not see someone's HP or something. Like, once you see a number, how do you go and forget that?
Yeah. No, you can't. I don't think you can at all. You'll see something by accident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it definitely just will. I mean, I guess they did it, but it seems like it would change the way you DM. Feeling like somebody is looking over your shoulder. Emily is passing Murph.
I'm so sorry. I had a button on.
I thought you said, "Can you drink this?
Can you chug this as a bonus action?"
That would be funny.
So we unfortunately have to punish your wife.
We do. I think, why don't you find out whatever way she wants to be punished? You got never mind. I'm not going there.
I guess find out how she likes to be punished and don't do that.
You're right. Right. Yeah.
Cool. Right. Sorry, folks.
Withhold affection for a day.
That's interesting because it's still kind of hot.
Right. Because then when it comes back.
Is there any way we can make this punishment?
No, we got to push
her
down a hill or something.
Yeah. How do we make it not hot?
Okay,
here's what you do. Okay. And this will solve your problem and it's kind of a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get progressively smaller chairs.
It's the
exact same type of chair that you had. So when she looks at it and she's like, "Wait, this This plan doesn't work. I'm such a moron. For some reason, I was picturing them sitting in a chair together at the thing. And I was like, you can get smaller and smaller and smaller chairs. That was the bit.
Because they were zooming from the same camera, they were sharing this chair.
I realize now.
Not everyone shares every chair like me and you.
Like we just sit on each other's laps.
Even when we drive.
I was trying to do a bit of you replace the chair with a slightly smaller chair so there's less room for both of you, but why the fuck would they be sitting in the same chair?
I thought you meant just like an everyday life. Just like replace all
Just put smaller chairs everywhere?
Yeah. I don't have a punishment.
Still
good,
do the smaller chair thing.
You know what would be like a pretty good punishment that like you wouldn't have to feel bad with when mm-hmm. within the context of a marriage? You guys go out to dinner one time and we just, and maybe secretly Jake is in
and
he's
in
the cook.
Kitchen.
I can cook.
And,
okay, all right.
That's actually cool.
And I'm sitting on Jake's head and I'm actually cooking for Jake.
I'm controlling him, but really hurting Jake's neck.
Yeah, like my thought is like, how do you like within the context of a marriage? And it's like, what is a moment that feels like betrayal but isn't when you order something that you don't like, but the person that you're with orders something they like?
Oh.
So you're having a different dinner experience.
That's
right.
Yeah.
This and that's not as bad as the little chair situation. I want to keep with the chairs.
Pretty dry.
Okay. What if we went? I'm gonna salvage this bit.
I think it's really fucked up.
This bit is built on.
That's heady. I like Emily's thing.
Yeah, it's built on a false premise, but I can shift it. So what if there were progressively bigger chairs?
There we go.
You were scooting your wife away.
Oh. There you go.
Because your chair is getting so big that there's only room for one of you in the webcam.
Eventually.
Great. So on the webcam, you do it so that you don't know how to turn off a filter that gives her a really stupid face, like a juggalo face or something.
Oh, that's good.
And you're like, shit, I don't know how to turn it off. If you want to zoom together, you have to do it with a juggalo.
This is great. Can I also suggest you just stay at a motel for 3 days?
That's hot.
Oh, okay, that's but hot. Again, so then she's gonna come to the motel.
I have a way to catch the wife.
Okay.
Which is you, in your notes, you just write, I love you, sweetie, like in there somewhere.
Oh.
And you just kind of clock and see if she reacts.
Or another way another way is to write whatever her character's name is. Let's say her character's name is Lumella.
Mm-hmm.
You write, kill Lumella here.
See if she reacts weird.
Or you get a buddy to text under a fake number and say like, hey, we down to meet up at the motel later.
Oh.
Love you, miss you.
And you're just finding out
you
your
wife
is.
You fake an affair to see if your wife is reacting. Uh-huh.
I'm not cheating. You're cheating.
I'm not a cheater, I'm just a maniac.
Yeah. That's just my close friend.
That's just my buddy, and he's nuts too.
And you fell into that trap. It was just a mirror for you to see your own guilt.
Oh, there's egg on your face, dear.
Why is this chair so big?
Using all of the plans. Her chair's small, your chair's big. You're faking
one
an
bad
affair.
Dinner.
You've been in a motel for 3 days. Don't do anything we told you to do. Do none of it. None of it.
Right. Do it all.
I mean, that's just good advice for this entire show.
I think you. Here's the deal.
Mm.
Your approach to this has been very her based.
Mm.
You've been very much like, hey, I don't think we should do this because then you can see all my notes. And then she can just say, I'm not going to look at your notes. And she very well may not be looking at them or maybe trying not to look at them or whatever. Mm. You need to say, I don't want this. I can't read my notes comfortably with someone right over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like work.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
totally.
Like I couldn't write with somebody right over my shoulder.
I agree.
And you might as well kill her character too.
Yeah. And just
while
kill
you're
her character.
At it.
Yeah. Fake an affair.
Fake an affair.
I mean,
kill
come on.
Character.
Is it that hard to text a buddy to text you to meet up at a hotel? You change your friend's name to something in
and you've
mom.
Already been gone at the motel. Yeah. So your buddy says, had a great time at the motel.
Have the buddy text, did you kill Lumella yet?
Yeah.
Come on.
Did you kill Lumella yet? I'm at the motel. Just started the motel bathtub.
Yes. I'm having the best affair with you.
Are you coming back to the motel soon?
It's a fair
You've already been here a few times, winky face.
There's a Little Caesars next door. Wait.
Thinking about getting a pizza enough for the two of us.
But
we're
going to
be hungry when we're done affairing. Winky face.
Okay. Yeah. So pick your poison. So
pick your poison.
I think we've given you a lot of really strong options.
Yeah.
All right. Our next case comes from Frankie C. Frankie
Did we
writes.
Someone?
Yeah. I think
we
have to
we punished the wife by ruining their marriage with all our advice.
Yeah. qualify.
To the Honorable Bailiff Jake and his coworkers, I guess.
Whoa.
I present to you the case of the banished manager.
Banished manager.
Okay. All right.
Our party was called on to help a mountain town who had set out a distress beacon. Mm-hmm. As we were preparing, me and my business partner, another PC, decided we should bring Jerry, an assistant manager, NPC,
what
at one of
this?
The restaurants we owned.
What?
In case we found
is
an opportunity.
Is this like a premise from Seinfeld or something?
I don't, oh yeah, Jerry? No, do I we? Feel like, okay. It sounds almost like Trinivale Triplet-esque.
Okay.
On the trek, we ran into some Yetis and sent Jerry off to hide. During the battle.
Okay, so it's not Seinfeld. Fun.
A Yeti sniffed out Jerry.
Jerry's courageous.
You haven't seen the last season.
During the battle, a Yeti sniffed out Jerry and darted to the cave where he was hiding. I rushed over immediately to rescue my employee, and our DM described that I saw a Yeti swallowing him. I cashed banishment on the Yeti, looking to quickly separate the two. My DM ruled that Jerry was banished with the Yeti, and by the time I could release concentration, Jerry's body was ripped in half, and a revivify spell could not bring him back. Our DM argued that Jerry was swallowed, and so he would get banished with the Yeti. But I countered, saying that our DM specifically described Jerry as halfway down the gullet of the Yeti, not completely swallowed. Thus, Jerry should be grappled and not banished. After a few minutes of arguing, our DM allowed us to roll a luck check for Jerry's fate, and Dice Christ was on our side. But how would you rule, Jake? I don't know why they're asking me. I humbly await your decision and accept the possible consequences.
Do you want to take this one? We're going to go to the motel.
I'm going to look up banishment.
Hotel talk.
But my first thought is like, if I'm your fucking DM, and I really wanted to kill Jerry for some reason, I would have just described how like, you saved just his like lower torso.
Yeah, cool.
I think that's what they did essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what the DM was trying to do.
I feel like, since I was called out specifically, I feel like this, at least as written, these players went very quickly to help Jerry. It's not like they've been like, whatever.
Right,
it's like, they brought Jerry. There was danger. They told Jerry to hide.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then they found out that Jerry was in danger and they rushed over immediately.
But does it matter?
Okay,
but
I was
if Jerry has 4 HP and a Yeti finds Jerry... Jerry's dead that turn.
That's true.
Yeah, very true.
That's true. The Yeti's bite alone. Okay. So banishment. You attempt to send one creature you can see within range to another plane of existence. The target must succeed, blah, blah, blah. If the target is native, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really say about like...
What do you do if...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can really get into the weeds with this one because, like, would a Yeti's jaws be big enough to, like, swallow a halfling in, like, one bite?
I think they were just flavoring it. They were just like, you go in and you see this dude is being eaten.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They could have just as easily been like, the Yeti claws his throat out.
Right. It's not like.
You're really getting into the weeds.
It's not like Moby Dick and the Wit, like where you just like get, the Yeti's going to swallow him whole. Mm-hmm. So it's like, look at a picture of the Yeti.
Yeah.
It's just
claws and teeth. If the Yeti's
DM, if anything,
Jerry,
was doing you a favor by describing it in a cartoonish way, they could have just been like, you see the Yeti, open its mouth, put its fangs into his neck and rip out Jerry's throat.
Right. With one swipe of the Yeti's claws, Jerry's jugular is gone.
Yeah.
There's no saving Jerry.
Yeah.
But it's
try as you might.
Yeah. Jerry actually ended up surviving.
Yeah.
So it worked out. But yeah, I think that you are within your right to kill Jerry.
Yeah.
The DM was.
The DM.
Seems like it's above board here.
Right. Yeah. But I think, like it was handled nicely because it's like, look, you should debate these things. You should be like, you know, you're allowed to say your piece and be like, what? But I got him off of him or whatever.
Right.
And they rolled a luck check and they got it
what
correct.
What level spell is banishment?
4.
That's pretty high level. Like, it feels like they really pulled out all the stops to try to save Jerry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like
except
you have
for
to
not
that.
Bringing Jerry on the adventure, which would have been
the one stop that wasn't pulled,
right?
Stopping Jerry.
If they told Jerry to hide,
Was there an attack roll made on Jerry? I'm trying to recall.
I mean, it just says that the Yeti sniffed him out. So right. I assume...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry must have like tried to stealth, was discovered.
And then was discovered, yeah.
I think the DM fucking hated Jerry.
Reading between the lines there, the fact that you are checking out on business expansions for your restaurant.
Reading through the lines, I think you are really focused on restaurants and stuff, and your DM wants to run the Yeti combat.
You don't have to be a restaurateur.
I think your DM wanted to be like, hey, Jerry is not safe here. This is a fucking fantasy world.
Mm-hmm. I would say spend less time like reading up on locations for your restaurants and more time reading your DM's face when you talk about Jerry.
they seem to want to murder Jerry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, everything sounds like it was above board here. Mm-hmm. I think this is a fun debate of just being like, look, the Yeti found him. Mm-hmm. He has 4 HP. Mm-hmm. He's dead.
Yeah.
And then being like, well, you described it as this. And he's like, mm-hmm. fine, do a luck check.
Right.
I think the DM handled it great.
It's true. Yeah. Like, there's no like wording for like how banishment works in that sense. And I feel like that is when the luck check comes into play.
Right. Yeah,
like,
I'm a little bit confused. I would think that it would say something about like objects that someone's holding. Like if someone was, but I think if someone was grappling someone, they would just get banished, and the person there, they would no longer be grappled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Yeti was in the act of murdering Jerry.
Right.
So like you get banished from doing that. Jerry's still dead at the time.
I think this was handled perfectly.
Banishment should be a higher level spell. This is really powerful.
Yeah, but it gets you can break concentration. The person can get out on their turn.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. This seems to have been played pretty well, which is that the DM got caught doing a goofy description saying they're swallowing Jerry whole.
Mm-hmm.
You argued that because of those logistics that Jerry should be safe once he's banished. DM sort of disagreed with that. You guys did a roll and you won.
Right. But in his court, you already lose.
Yeah. Right. How did they phrase their question?
How they phrased their question was Dice Christ was on our side, but how would you rule, Jake? I humbly await your decision.
So this is on Jake. This is just on Jake.
Jake, we're going to take a little break.
Yeah.
Interesting. I guess I sort of have been arguing for the players this entire time by saying how much they've looked after Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to rule against them. Just because I have a competing restaurant business that I'm trying to expand in the tundra.
Yeah.
Bailiff's
bucket.
In all seriousness, it just sounds like you guys handled it.
Yeah.
It
sounds like a great time.
Yeah. It
sounds like a great time at the table.
It'll have a question like this, and then they'll say, and then everyone got into a fight, and the whole table broke up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't happen. Yeah. So it seems like you guys are all cool. Like, it's fine to have debates.
But now you have an answer.
Yeah. And as your punishment, you have to be the restaurant manager, and Jerry is.
Jerry's your boss now.
Yeah, Jerry's the boss.
Since you love Jerry so much.
Now Jerry's suing you.
Wow. Yeah, that's okay.
That's right.
That's workplace comp.
Yeah. Endangering situation.
Yeah. That's how the DM should play this.
Yeah.
If you really want to be a restaurateur and you bring Jerry out and you see the Yetis are eating him, that to me smells like in a restaurant opportunity in its own.
What's on the menu?
What's on the menu for the Yetis?
McJerry's.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really fascinating. I like that
a
lot.
You should open a Yeti restaurant.
All right, so ordered. You're opening a Yeti restaurant. Our next case comes from The Pits. They write, may it please the court, the honorable justices, and the regular ass bailiff Jake.
Wow.
Thank you. This week, while playing a one-shot, one of my fellow PCs, a wizard, tried to look in the bag of a fallen enemy she had just slain. This is in initiative, still in combat. Mm. Another enemy, a sorcerer, had the next turn in initiative, and the DM announced the sorcerer would have advantage on the ranged spell attack against the PC wizard because she was not paying attention. Mm. This caused the rest of us to get spicy in her defense. We felt it unfair to impose advantage against her since it feels impossible to pay attention to everyone on the battlefield all the time. Do we need to now be asking who is paying attention to what before each attack? Mm-hmm. She tried to look in the bag because the DM specifically pointed out that he was carrying a bag of loot. After we got spicy, the DM did not allow us to find any loot. We were looking for healing potions, and later two out of three of us died because we had no way to heal. Noble justices, was our DM unfair to us? Should DMs be held to a code of fairness, or is D&D just unfair sometimes.
Okay, Murph, well, would you have consider Murph, would you consider looking in a bag during battle an object interaction? Because that would
Somebody else's bag?
No, oh, somebody else's.
But someone who's dead. It's not someone who's alive.
Yeah, yeah.
They killed them.
Someone that they had just slain.
Just slain them.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
Like, can I look in the bag?
I think I would probably do, I would say object interaction if you really wanted to be a stickler and you wanted to make them do an investigation check or something or have them use their action. I mean, other people having advantage is bullshit. Because in that case, you could just grant advantage to everybody who's paying attention to anything else.
Right.
Like, what's the difference between if hard one's fighting one night,
right, the
could
other
I just say that another night everyone else has advantage on you because you're paying attention to that thing?
Yeah.
I was looking through Kobold Press the other day and they had a really fun mechanic that was like, it was just some like bug or some like pretty bug.
Just a pretty ass bug.
Just a fucking pretty ass bug.
It was just a bug in your book. Just a fig eater beetle had landed on your book.
Just gorgeous bug. I don't actually remember what I meant to say, but I blow up a bunch of bugs. And they had a really fun little mechanic, which maybe this is already in D&D. I just hadn't encountered it before, which was these bugs had like, they could, as a bonus action, swoop and distract. And the distracted condition means just your next roll you have a disadvantage on.
Okay.
And I thought that was kind of fun. Yeah. I'm not saying that that has no place in this scenario. I just thought that was a fun thing.
That is very
fun. So I decided to share it.
And bugs are distracting.
Yeah.
Like if there's a big shiny green fig eater beetle zipping around in the sky, I'm absolutely going to get impaled.
I'm going to be rolling my next thing with disadvantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's weird. Mm-hmm. It's also so weird to punish your player's curiosity.
Yeah.
Like in like when they're being strategic, when they're like, okay, we fought this bad guy, we're in a bad shape. I want to see if there's any potions in here.
Yeah. It's easy enough to have them be like, all right, you can do the investigation check on this turn, but it's going to be like an action or a bonus action to like rifle through and pull something out on the next turn. But you'll know what's in there on this turn.
Yeah. It sounds like they may have used their whole turn to do it.
Wow. No, they killed the person
and then looked through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, they just slain the person. It seems like the fact that this netted out with two people dying is like, it reflects poorly on the DM and that
the
whole
DM's
like, the decision
kind of
process.
Needlessly brutal.
Yeah.
Jake, you're a pro rifler when it comes to bags.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah,
how do you need a bonus
stuff,
action, an action, or simply an object interaction?
I've rifled through your bag while we were here. That's right.
Yeah, the camera didn't even catch it.
You need nothing except for these.
Greasy finger.
I have your laptop charger.
I need that.
So do I.
I think there's no reason that looking in a bag would be more distracting than anything else on
fun.
Battle.
Yeah, it's not fun.
All right, so we got to punish the DM then.
Absolutely.
Should
we just send Jake to go rifle through the DM's bag?
That's great.
I would love that. Yes.
Jake, you can take anything you want from this DM.
Okay.
One of my favorite things to do with bags is to rifle through them, though, and it's like, I don't need any of it, but I put it back in a kind of a different
a
order,
different way.
And then I take one really inconsequential thing.
How about this? We invite this really DM good. To a live show, and we're like, hey, VIP experience, we want you to come
leave
backstage.
Leave your stuff back in the green room.
Yeah.
And they go back, there's
like,
just something
just go to your seat, you have to bring your bag and your jacket.
Yeah, stash it back here.
Yeah, just leave it all back here.
I'll take it.
Okay.
And then I just take it back to the green room.
And I'll be like, Jake, we're all going to go on stage, hang back here.
Totally.
We're gonna do a special intro for you.
Love it.
But you guys probably guests probably want to go get in your seats.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I'm gonna rifle through your bag and like take something like a pen and just come out on stage with it behind my ear.
Yeah. Oh, it's really
and
good.
You won't even enjoy the show.
Right.
Because all the time you'll be like, Did Jake take
my pen?
My calligraphy pen.
I will take one very specific thing that's easily identifiable. Just place it on the table.
Yeah.
A little box of Tic Tacs that you had. Half empty. Orange. Wow. Right there. Interesting.
Just savoring Tic Tacs throughout the show.
Yeah. This is so bad for the audience.
Just like
you're really concentrating
it.
On
don't even put it in your mouth.
Those bad boys.
I'm just sucking a Tic Tac.
Just lick it all the way to the nub.
Oh, God.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
There you go.
I love to rifle. Tell you what, we have two Dice Christ confessions here.
Okay,
just about out of time.
Let's all pile into the confession.
Yeah, we're in the booth.
Let's knock them both down. Church is running long today.
Yeah. I hope everybody's okay with sharing it with everybody, because big confession booth today.
It's okay. All right, everyone confessing at the same time.
Yeah.
Group confession. Jason,
I hope it's okay that I brought this big tin of beans.
I'm gonna rifle through those.
Justice Tanner needs to leave.
I have a Dice Christ confession from Jason R. Okay. I am a fairly new player and was playing our third session of our campaign. We have our first encounter of the night. Our DM says, roll initiative. I rolled a 9. She proceeds to say, let's take a break so she can set up the map for the encounter. After the break, our DM says, if you didn't roll before the break, go ahead and roll your initiative. As a new player, I wanted to do better than the 9 I rolled, so I rolled again. And I proceeded to get a nat 1.
Wow.
The only thing that went through my head was Dice Christ has spoken.
Yeah.
I hung my head low and honored my nat 1 and played the encounter. That night, I became a true believer of Dice Christ.
Okay, that's great.
Not even a confession. That's just a victory lap.
Yeah.
You got your punishment.
Christ is real.
That was like a witnessing.
I like these stories of Christ's miracles.
Right, dude.
You laugh because he's right.
Turning into an actual Christian podcast. Really good stuff, guys.
Really bad. Sorry.
Okay, back to Dice Christ.
Kara
D writes, to the illustrious and pious triumvirate Murph Murphy, Emily Axford, and Calderwell Tanner, and the exalted yet Hurwitz Archdeacon Jake Humble. I
have no idea.
Salad.
Jake Humble is a fun rebrand.
Yeah.
I have a confession for Dice Christ. I have a wonderful blessing of having those in my circle who find themselves called to play D&D, yet with all the polyhedral dice that grace my domicile, I have yet to properly answer the call to DM. The one time I tried, it was a mid-tier experience that my brain only paints as a calamitous failure. Please assign me some penance to cure this affliction of being a scaredy cat DM.
Aww.
Don't be afraid.
So did this person say the one time I tried? So they have tried.
They thought it was a failure.
They said it was a failure, but they acknowledges that it was like mid tier.
Yeah,
that's just how it is. You're gonna have a hard time at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
First off, you're gonna have a hard time at first, and you're gonna get better. And secondly, most of us have some level of performance anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Where half the time I DM afterwards, I go to Emily, I'm like, oof, I fucked up.
and that's how I feel going home too.
All the time.
I'm like, oh, all right, that was fun. Ah, oh, you should have said this.
You should have done that.
Oh, why did you do this? You fucking idiot.
You just get in bed with your wife and tell her about the stupid imaginary thing you did.
It's like, it's improvisation. So there's always, after the fact, there's always things you could have done better. So don't be so hard on yourself.
You got to get back on the horse.
Right. Nobody is judging you as harshly as you're judging yourself.
Totally.
And your friends that are, you know, supporting you and doing it, that's really all you have to listen to. Listen to them, not your inner voice that's not being nice to you.
They want you to succeed, because then there's more DMs, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If everyone wants to play, then like, all you're doing is just setting up a chance for more people to play. You'll get better for yourself, but ultimately, truly all that matters from this game is people getting together and doing something together.
And if you absolutely knock it out of the park your first time, everyone's going to be like, you know, they could hate on that.
That's true. People do hate greatness.
So it's good to be humble. It's good to be Jake Humble.
I love the idea of you taking on a new persona as hashtag Jake Humble, and it's just pictures of you just like posing on Instagram, just being like, so blessed to be here in Brooklyn, New York, where everything started, performing in front of some of the greatest fans in the world. Hashtag Jake Humble.
Jake Humble.
Got third place in a race, but that's okay, Jake Humble.
Finally got this brand new Ferrari. It was so much hard work and dedication. And here I am.
You are witnessing the culmination of 20 years of hard work.
Hashtag Jake Humble.
Jake Humble.
Can't believe I get to fly private. I used to fly standby on Spirit. Hashtag Jake Humble.
Just humbling
Jake Humble.
Stay Jake Humble, folks.
All right, everybody. Stay Jake Humble. That should be the new ending to D&D Courts, because we've just been using POD.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been using
the short rest.
The short rest. Let's start ending on Stay Jake Humble.
So thank you all so much for listening. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week with maybe we'll do some more Turtle Tank.
Actually, on one of these dungeon court cases, somebody was just like, "I used group initiative, and my players are having so much fun."
That's great! Awesome.
So absolutely sick to know that people are taking ideas and using them.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Can I give you a suggestion for the outro? Should go.
Okay.
Have fun at the table and stay Jake Humble.
Whoa!
Let's just use that.
That's perfect. Yeah. I don't want to say anything else. And on that.
All right.
Jake Humble.
Get one more in.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.